This is Family Worship Experience International, a place of worship, word, and intimacy. Join us as we take a walk into the life-changing Word of God with Apostle Jonathan Shekonia.
Please just rise for a few minutes. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, tonight is my night for a visitation. Let the wind of the Spirit cover me. Let the wind of the Spirit cover me tonight. Lebaros kobrish tabalada bariatakai. Bantalabaros kobash tabalada bariatakalai. Lekorabatabas tabalada bate. Jotobriatabalada bariatakalai. Barande koya kabash kete. Are you praying? Outside, participate. Lord, tonight, speak to my heart, transform me. Shabarada bako protopekeski balada brande ketaya. Lebarada bako skopriyata balada priyata ketaya. Thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, unto thee shall the gathering of your people be. We are here again, subject and loyal to your word. We ask the Lord you change us to the end that we become transformed people. People who understand how the systems of this kingdom work. We've not gathered to just have a time of excitement. Above and beyond that, teach us your ways. Cause us on the structure to rise. Thank you. Thank you. For the least among us is going to become a mighty one. We give you all the glory. Can you lift your hands and bless him? Just speak to him. Tell him how much you adore him. Talk to him. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Baroski balate brati alahaya.
Aya ya 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 ya. Ebenezer, Ebenezer. Aya ya 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 ya. Ebenezer. My help has come. Ebenezer, Ebenezer. Ebenezer, my help has come. My help has come. Oh. My help has come. My help has come. Oh, my help has come. My help has come. My help has come.
Through your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Now listen carefully. Listen. We started a teaching last week on the systems of rising, and I tried to explain certain things for us or to us as foundation about mindset. Listen carefully. When you cast out a devil from an individual that is possessed, or bring deliverance to someone who is influenced by demons. Because there are two forms of oppressions of demonic spirit. As a believer, you cannot be possessed. It's not possible. But then there is a influence over your mind, over your life. Whenever any of these two deliverances happen to an individual, and you allow him to go, there is every likelihood that that oppression will come back. There is every likelihood that that possession will happen again. One of the ways to keep people completely delivered is not just to conduct deliverance, but to teach deliverance. When you bring people the life-transforming word of God, that is the highest form of deliverance. In fact, this is the one that takes time. To cast out a devil doesn't take time. You come for miracle service next week, we cast out devils and heal the sick. But then, beyond and above that, we keep coming every week. And we subject ourselves to the word of God. It's still deliverance. Look at what Jesus said. He said, he has anointed me to preach. Preach, meaning deliverance is not just conducted, it is being preached. The real deliverance. So tonight I sang that song for a reason, because indeed somebody's help has come. You honestly can be prayerful, but then still limited. If deliverance is not preached to your mind, you honestly can be born again, but then there are still barricades that stops you from rising. And tonight I trust the Lord, building on what we started last week, that many of us will rise on the wings of the Spirit. Believe me, you begin to do business in deep waters. Certain things that were not possible with you last year become easy right this year. Ay, 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 ay. Ebenezer, Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay. Ebenezer, my help has come.
Overcome, yeah, every
lot to cover this evening. I'm really trusting God that God will help us to finish the work of this evening so that we are left with one more session. Let me do a quick review so that those who are not here can be able to catch up with us. We started last week discussing the systems of rising. And it was a serious Bible study thing that is attached to a transformed mind. When you allow the word of God transforms you, there is a blessing attached to it. There is a blessedness that comes with it. And that after salvation, the next thing every believer must contend for after salvation is a balanced scriptural knowledge. Balanced scriptural knowledge. I'm going to show us a lot of things this evening, and this statement I'm making now will make sense to you. Hallelujah. There are a lot of us, when we gave our life to Christ, we found ourselves in an environment that was, it looked spiritual. So many teachings came. And you know, there is something about hunger. Hunger is dangerous. Hunger is a sign of health. You are healthy, right? But then there is a danger attached to hunger, especially spiritual hunger. I've been to places to minister, and of course here too, you see a level of hunger in the lives of people. The danger with that is whenever anything comes to you at that state, you consume it, and it makes sense. Have you ever been on a 3 days fast? Maybe 3 days dry or 2 days dry. In fact, one day fast, morning till evening. The first thing you tasted was very delicious to your tongue. Even if that food was not nice, for the fact that you were coming from a realm of hunger, you stepped into that realm. And then it was provided for. You ate it. It was so exciting for you. That was the best meal. That's how it is with spiritual hunger. When people are hungry spiritually, and you begin to feed them with junk, their heart is open. The danger is that after a while, they expect that produce certain results. And then they are now frustrated after a long time that this thing is not working. Then they see another person that just gave his life to Christ some years back. Maybe 2-3 years. This guy has been here for 10 years. And this guy just gave his life to Christ 2-3 years. And the results in his life are amazing. There is going to be a problem. Because this guy with the 10 years experience will look at him and say, no, there is something you are doing. This is not God. The God I know is supposed to stretch you. I don't believe that this should happen to you within 3 years. There is nothing wrong with his assertion. Except that something was taught him wrongly. Hallelujah. It's very dangerous. So after salvation, this is why we come and sit down and subject ourselves to the word of God. The next thing we must contend for is a balanced scriptural knowledge. Very important. Very important. And then I showed us last week how that a mindset derived from our experiences, our culture, our schools, informations, traditions. This is a mindset, a way of thinking that is a derivative of your experiences, the things you've gone through. You've gone through so much that those experiences have now given you a way of thinking. Mindset. And I told us number two, a mindset is the sum total of your ideologies. The things you hold as ideologies, as opinion, as values, all of these things put together, they are called mindset, gotten from experiences. And I told us again that is a fixed way of thinking. And for me, that was the most serious one. A fixed way of thinking. Or a fixed state of mind. That whatever comes your way that is new, that mindset fights it. You come into a meeting like this, and then maybe the power of into that. Of course, your mind will begin to fight it. You even stand and begin to watch. One time, I think I shared this testimony, we were in the service in Kefi. I think I was teaching on the revival. And of course, some of you were around. The presence of God was usually so tense. I'm teaching and people are flying and falling from their seat here and there. And a young man who came for the meeting for the first time said he's suspecting this is my golden mic. Huh?
This mic that he's suspecting it. That if not, why will I come up with my mic? Why didn't I collect the mic? Logic started playing out. I should collect that black mic and use it. If there is nothing special about this golden mic. That day he was so distracted and he traveled all the way from Kaduna for the meeting. Wasted his transport, met me the next day, and then was saying, when I left the church, that's when I knew I missed something. But then God still proved to him that there was nothing special about the mic. He was alone in his room and he told the Lord, if what was happening there was real, let me feel something. While he's never before. You see it? That was the mercy of God playing out for him. For many, it might not happen that way. You see? So you come for a meeting and then that fixed state of thinking begin to fight everything you are hearing. And all of this because of something you've gone through or something you've heard in the past. An information that was delivered to you.
Please help. This fan is affecting this mic. Maybe you reduce it.
Hallelujah. And I told us that mindset are powerful to a point that can fight God, fight the word of God, and almost make the word of God of none effect. Hallelujah. Let me show you two scriptures we read and let's just read through. We are not explaining anything. You can get the teaching. Give us the book of Mark 7. This is Jesus himself talking. Mark chapter 7, 6 through 9, and then verse 13. He answered and said unto them, you hypocrite, as it is written, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 7. How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. Verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition. You see, somebody passed this tradition to them. Held this tradition of men, like washing of cups, of pot, and many other such things. And then verse 9. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye might keep your tradition. And then see verse 13, the place of interest now. Verse 13. Everybody want to read. Making the word of God of none effect through what? Jesus is talking. He said that the word of God can become ineffective in the face of tradition. Hold of your mind. Whatever comes as the word of God has no place in your mind again. Has no place in your life. This is how powerful our mind is. That it can successfully fight the word of God. It can fight prophecy. It can fight whatever it is that is coming from God. And it will always win. Mindset. Then Philemon 14. Just trying to. Trying to do a quick recap and then we make progress. Philemon 1:14. Kula braskita balateketia. Oh, I just make progress. The Lord was speaking. He said, I will do nothing without your mind. That if I'm to do anything in your life, your mind must cooperate with me. I am helpless, almost, but without your mind, I will not your father. This is God, not your biological father. The Almighty God, that I plan to change your life. I plan to bring increase, but if your mind don't cooperate, forget about it. Serious. Serious. This is God. Almighty, all powerful. I plan to bring you a breakthrough, but I need the cooperation of your mind. If your mind fights me, you successfully can fight me. And I will step out. So that whatever you allow into your mind, you've allowed into your life already. Whatever you allow happen to your mind, happens to your life. I'm telling you, that's how powerful it is. You've gone through so much in your life. All of this should not give you a mindset that is inconsistent with the word of God or the character of God. You've gone through, you've had experiences, rejection, all kinds of family things here and there. And told you things about your life. Say, you are a useless child. I don't think anything good can happen with you. And then you grew up hearing those things. Already they formed the mindset. Two of you are applying for a job. Already you know that your neighbor is going to get. You are not getting. All because somebody have told you something. This is how mindset works. Somebody communicates something to your mind that sits there. Become a thinking pattern. And that it can limit God. Hallelujah. Very important. Today let's begin with Proverbs 23 verse 7. A very powerful scripture. Now everybody look up. We're going to read this together. Inside, outside. One to read. For as he thinketh in his heart. So is he. Stop there. As he thinketh. Anyone, anybody, whatever name it is, we don't care. But as life becomes a reflection of his thoughts, that if I see the way you think, I can't be able to describe your life. I can't be able to describe your future. I can't be able to describe where you are driving your life to. As he thinketh, not so doth God makes him. No. As he thinks, so he becomes. It's almost like God is out of the equation. You just think it and watch your life play out like that. And this is God speaking, not a man. As he thinketh. So keep thinking failure. He said there is no way you will stumble into success. Keep thinking frustration, sickness, affliction. There is no way you will live in hell. As he thinketh in his heart, his life began to reflect it. That your life will begin to tilt towards that direction. Hallelujah. It's a system in this kingdom that whatever happens to your mind happens to your life. That your mind has a very powerful part to play. Whatever happens to your mind happens to your life eventually. It might take a while, but give it time. Hallelujah. I want to show you three powerful things our mind has the capacity to do. And how we need to guard these things very carefully. Very carefully. I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. What we allow into our minds. Believe me. I told you last week that your mind is a major doorway into your life. Major doorway. Major. It's important what we allow. Number one, our mind has the capacity to remember. Remember. Whenever you can't remember, you need a miracle. We call it loss of memory, right? We've had miracle services where people come and say, my problem is not that I'm sick in my body, but I hardly remember things. And in case you are here like that, as I teach on this, your deliverance comes. No, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Our minds has the capacity to remember. And it matters what you are able to remember. Or it matters what you remember. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 verse 18. Can we have it, media? Isaiah 43, 18. Everybody look up. One to read. Remember ye not the former things. He's telling you that certain things happened in the past in your life. Please, don't remember them again. Neither consider the things of the old. Why? Verse 19. For I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Ye shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness. All of this is what I intend to do. Listen carefully. I intend to make a way. I intend to do something new. I intend to make your life fruitful. But be careful what your mind remembers. Be careful what you keep in your mind. Be careful. A lot of us have blocked certain things God intends to do with us, with the things we keep in our mind. Now God promised you a job and you remember you've lost 7 jobs. Every job you, the mindset, you even believe God can give the job but you're going to lose it. It's a mindset. No, it is. So he said, I plan to do a new thing. I plan to open up a door, but be careful what you remember. Certain people have had heartbreaks in relationships again and again, and they don't believe that a relationship can work as far as they are concerned. Lord, let a prophecy come. Thank you for the prophecy. Any other person can grab it, but not me. Because I remember what happened to me last year. I remember what this and that did to me. No, you have to understand what the Bible is saying. He said, I plan to change your life. I plan to do a new thing. But be careful what you remember. There are people, the way they remember hurts. Someone did something wrong to them 3 years back, and to be very honest, they still have the date and time. Tap them from sleep and say, my brother, do you know Mr. or sister, what's your name, right? He said, I know the person. 1999, I can't forget. Early hours of the morning, I woke up. It was summer. I know. I woke up. Just coming out, a slap greeted me in the morning. And the pains of the slap, I've only forgiven. But that date is in my mind. You see it? There are people like that. There are people, all they remember is hurt. All they remember is disappointment. They will never remember anything positive. No. It happens to them positive, they forget about it. But anything wrong, they keep it in their mind. And they can give you the date and the time. It's very dangerous. Very, very. He said, remember not the former things. No, don't remember them. Your mind has the capacity to remember, but be careful the things you remember. Be careful the things you bring back to your mind. Apostle said, one thing I do again and again, paraphrasing now, is that I forget. You see it? In fact, even your achievement, you have to come to a point where certain things you have accomplished in life don't stop the new ones God is about to do. You see it? Because a lot of people can glory about the things God is doing now and never step into new dimensions. So Paul, the great apostle, after ministry for years and blessing lives, he said, see, I have this as a custom. I have this as a system within me that I will always forget the things that happened yesterday and I will press. I will contend for new things. This is very important. It's important what you remember. Is important. Hallelujah. Because you see, so many of us, and this is going to be a deliverance, you did certain things in the past before you got born again. Huh? And then now you are born again. But every now and then, Satan comes back and then reminds you. Because he knows your mind have the capacity to remember. So he will come and remind you, bros, why are you worshiping as though you've forgotten what happened? Your hands are lifted and then all of a sudden he comes to tell you, see, everybody can lift their hands. You, bring down your, bring down. Why are you worshiping like this? You think the Lord is hearing? Then you tell what happened. He said, no, remember 2017. Why are you doing as if you've forgotten? This is the enemy communicating. That's the loophole he finds to bring guilt. Huh? Guilt is one of the powerful arsenals of the enemy. I'm telling you. Guilt, it can keep you from making progress. You are forgiven, but please don't move. That's what guilt is. God in you, but please let your mind keep you here. And a lot of you are like that. Let me bring you the word from God that if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The Bible says all things are past. Everything has become new. It is true that I killed somebody. It is true that I did what again? I stole something. It is true that I was a smoker. I was a drunk. It is true. But then I'm in Christ. I've been washed. I've been forgiven. I told you last year that each time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of what? Remind him of his future. He has a future. He is aware. Remind him too. Hallelujah. It's important what we remember. Never keep yourself in your yesterday. Yes, it happens, but I'm a new person. Yes, it happened. I made a mistake, but I'm washed. Number two, our mind, and we've been talking about this again and again. That was a scripture we read. Our minds, we won't dwell so long on this, has the capacity to think. You want to have it in your life, think it. You want to have it happen to you, think it. Engage your mind. Positive thinking. I think while I taught on maximizing retreat the end of last year, I told you that one of the major things that should happen in your personal retreat with God is creative thinking. Is that it? Very important. A lot of us believers are prayerful, but we don't have time to think. If you are only praying and you are not having time to think and meditate, you have a problem. You know, you have a big problem. Because God will want to come in and make a way. You are not even creative. You can't think. You can't take advantage of any opportunity at all. Ideas are coming, but they can't access you. Because you are busy shouting in tongues. You know I pray. But you are busy shouting in tongues that you do listen. I think that playlist here was something like that. Busy doing ministry. All kinds of things here and there. But they're not even having time with God. Let your mind take you there. Your legs will also follow. Huh? Let your mind take you there. Allow your mind travel with you there. Your legs have no choice. They will take you there. As he thinketh, so is he. Allow your mind to think it. Allow your mind to project into it. Allow your mind to give it to you. It will certainly enter your hand. No, certainly. Even God is a system with God that before he does anything to you, he think about it. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the thoughts that I think. God wants to bless you now, but he's saying, I'm thinking it first. I'm thinking it first. Let me create that reality in my mind as God. Then it happens to you. This is how we create things. You have the image of God for us. You want to have things happen. Don't just wake up and you are talking blindly. No, sir. Let that reality be created in your thoughts. And then next to it, imagination, our mind. This is very powerful and I love this. Our minds have the capacity to imagine. When you write the imagination, write imagine, then put hyphen and then put nation with a capital N. Imagine what? Nations. Yeah, powerful. That your mind has the ability to create a nation. Your mind can project you into those nations. Your legs are going there. It's not yet time, we understand. But let your mind travel there. Very powerful. Remember the book of Ephesians 3, I think 20. It says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or imagine. God wants you to imagine. Then you put him into work. Waiting for you. My boy, please imagine something. I want to move, but I need you to imagine it. Create that thought you are having. Give it a picture. Convert the thought into picture. For a lot of us, this is where we stop. We just think it and that's all. No, sir, don't stop there. Give it an image. How many of you believe sincerely? You are not just going to raise your hand because you are excited this evening. How many of you believe that although God is starting with you here, but you are going global? No, how many of you believe? Now watch this. You don't wait to get there before you start thinking it. No. It might never happen. There should be times to sit in your room and enter New York before your legs follow. That's how it happens. There should be time. Listen. God gave you imagination for a reason. Let me tell you this. There are many times, you know, when God calls you, when he gives you an assignment, it's very big. What he shows you is the end. He doesn't show you. Begin to follow the process. There are tendencies of discouragement. There are tendencies of frustration. The process can become so tough that at some point you are feeling like, hey, this thing, I feel like giving up. No, you are not supposed to give up. All you are supposed to do is to retreat a while, find a seat and sit down. Then enter your future in your mind. What God showed you, where he told you he's taking you to. Sit down in your chair. Forget about running around here and there. No, sit down. Then project into it in your mind. This is scripture. This is scripture. You will realize that when you come back from that meditation, faith will rise. You will become super. You were discouraged, but somehow you sat. Look at Jesus. He said, whom for the joy that was set. He endured the cross because he will always picture that end. He will always picture it. This is scripture. Brothers and sisters, imaginations are powerful. Very powerful. A picture. Hallelujah. There are times I sit down and I just picture myself in one crusade like Benny Hinn. No, you don't want to imagine. I've been watching Pastor Chris of Christ Embassy recently. Looking at him, at times I'll be looking at him and tears will gather in my eyes. And I'm saying, Lord, what did you do to this man? Then when I'm sitting and praying, I begin to see myself, oh God, oh God. He was a normal person like every other person. There was a hand that took him. And that same hand is still available. He said, if that same spirit that rose Jesus, you see it? If that same spirit, I said, Lord, please, this thing can happen to anybody. My mind is cooperating. I will begin to project. This is very powerful. In fact, do you know that even the anointing, especially the healing and the miraculous, works by this? That before the blind see in physical, they must see in your mind. I'm telling your mind. What you allow your mind think and picture is very important. Very important. Let me show you one scripture. I think I read this some years back to us. Let's read it again. Genesis. You can never enter a future your mind has not captured. If your mind has not captured it, forget it. You are not entering it. For many of you, you are at this point, you know your marriage is happening in 1-2 years. There is no point waiting to enter the marriage before you start living a married life. There should be time you sit down and begin to see how your children play around with you. There should be time you sit down and see how you are playing with your wife, a lively and beautiful home. Not that you sit down and then you see your neighbors fighting here and there. You say, Kai, marriage self. That's why we come. Are you a eunuch? You are getting married. Sit down there, begin to create it. Listen, you should give the world a standard of what marriage should be like. Then sit down there, begin to see your wife playing around, and then you are playing and running around the sitting room and create the picture, then your legs will take you there. That's how it works. Yeah. That's how it works. Why we started this building 4th of March last year. Brothers and sisters, you don't want to know what my mind was thinking. Every time I'll come and... You know that was the time with this service with open roof. I will come here. What I'm seeing is that the place is sealed. Lightning everywhere. In fact, we've not even gotten the real picture yet. I'm still imagining it as he tinkered in his heart. This is not even the picture of this hall yet. We are not done. No, we are not done. I kept picturing it. You know, I even shouted out, oh, Jesus. It's good to think the word of God. If you think the word of God, the way you start talking, I told you in 4 months we're going to finish the building. Although it didn't happen in 4 months, but 9 months we're almost there. Brothers and sisters, if your mind can capture it, your legs have no choice. How many of you know that the realm of the spirit is stronger than this realm? It is. I'm going to touch this. This is the last part of this teaching. It's stronger than this realm. And it will always happen. Your body, let me tell you something. Your body is a slave to your spirit. Your body is a slave to your mind. So that wherever your mind enters, your body has no choice. It just follows. Imagine that as he thinks, you just engage your mind. Then watch your life. Watch your life. I can't think poverty. Are you joking? I can't think frustration. No. Retrogression, I can't even think it. That's what they keep imagining. They will even sit down and say, Kaito, I don't know what the future holds for us. Because he lives.
Holds my future.
even the song I wanted to sing.
Because he lives, Jesus, I live.
Yes, yeah, that's our Father.
I have no fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he lives, yeah. Jesus, I live today.
Declare that two times.
Oh, I live, yeah.
I live to praise your name.
I have no fear.
I have no fear.
What tomorrow brings.
Tomorrow
one more time, say, I live, yeah.
I live to praise your name.
Praise your name. I have no fear.
I have no fear.
Can you give us Genesis? Let's wrap this section up of this. Genesis 11 from verse 1 is going to be a bit lengthy because we'll read through 7. Now watch this. Very powerful and exciting scripture. I'm still talking on imagination. Huh? And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. I want to believe the language was Hebrew. Huh? Oh, baggy. Verse 2. My guy's laughing. And it came to pass as they journeyed from east. The family was small. So they could even walk together. They advised themselves, guys, let's shift from where we are now. Let's journey to the east. That they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. It was a very beautiful plain land. And verse 3. And they said one to another, burn them thoroughly. They are giving a picture to what is in their mind. Let's burn them thoroughly. And they made them for stones. And slim had they for mortar. Verse 4. Powerful. And they said, go to let us build us a city and a tower. Whose top might reach unto where? Heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. If you stop here, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like they've built it already. But by this, already there is a picture in their mind. Is that it? If you read this, you know there is a picture. They've imagined the building growing already. They've imagined it hitting the heavens already. Already, they are living in that building. Let's build it. The top must reach to the heavens. They've imagined it. They've sat down there. And then watch verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city. Which city? It's still in their mind. But the Lord said, no, guys, if we allow this man. The psalmist said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? The way God is concerned about man, we should ask questions. Who is man? Who is man? God saw that these guys have finished it in their mind. And he said, let's go down with these guys. No. And they came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Past tense, it's already built. It's already built. Although no foundation is on ground, but God is saying the building is completed. That's how God sees your imagination. Imagine it in your mind. God said, this thing is finished. Imagine it in your mind, is finished. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. He's now explaining the reason for making that statement. These people are one, and they have all one language. And this that they begin to do, they've not even begun. God is now explaining to us that it's not like they builded it physically. He's giving us an explanation. And them, which they have imagined to do. This is God talking. The reason I said the city is finished is because I've seen their imagination. In their mind, they're finished. So let's go and stop them. Your imagination, all the while you thought you're just thinking. At times, some of you, God is opening you up to realms of vision. Maybe you are ministering in your little fellowship or somewhere, and then a picture just passed. You say, I think I'm the one thinking, and you think you are that intelligent. To create a picture of someone's hand with that while you are ministering. No, sir. This is God opening you up to a dimension. Imagination is a powerful tool God communicates to us, because he knows how powerful it is. This thing that they've imagined to do, nothing can stop them. Nothing. Nothing. So let's go and stop them now. And God now said in verse 7, go to let their tongues, that they might not understand one another's speech. Otherwise, forget it. It's done in their mind. It's done in real life. It's concluded in their mind. It's concluded. Hallelujah. For he called those things that be not as though they were. Everything you see manifest here exists somewhere. Are you aware? You have to learn to picture it, then transport it to this realm. Your imagination, very powerful. This is why the devil is fighting every believer. And what he's fighting majorly is your mind. That if he can get a control over your mind, he's truly in control of your life. Believe me, if the devil can have control over your control of your life, and I'm going to show you this. You know, the Bible tells us, the book of Ephesians. Now, maybe we just read through it. Give us Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. But I have two more powerful scriptures to share with us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. These are born again people, redeemed of the Lord is talking of now. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God, that he might be able to withstand against the strategies of the devil. The strategies are, the word wise here are strategies. Strategies are demonic attacks against your mind. He said, be careful so that you can be able to withstand the strategies of the enemy. Next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then he tells us the category of forces we fight against. Powers, rulers of darkness, these powers only gain ascendancy when there are dark manipulations happening in the dark. And then he said, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins gathered about with truth. You are fighting principalities. You are fighting powers. He's beginning to tell you the weapons. He said, number one weapon to fight demonic forces is truth. He didn't say you should carry a physical. No, truth. And truth resides in your mind. Is that it? Truth. And then he said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are running through 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, every helmet of salvation. Stop there. Stop there. That you are saved, but your mind should be preserved and protected. That's what he's saying. You are born again. Your heart is pure. Be careful. You have to preserve your mind. Helmet of salvation. Because there is a possibility that your mind is pure and your head is dumb. And this is the problem with a lot of believers. I don't mean any insult. That a lot of us can pray and stretch in tongues for 7 hours, but then our mind is not productive. We can stretch in tongues, but then in our workplace we are not doing well. We can stretch in tongues, but the next shop near us is more excellent than we are. You see, it is a problem. Then we come for miracle service and expect that God should just do all kinds of things and then boycott processes and bless you. God is saying, I'm willing to bless you, but do something to your mind. Do something to your mind. The warfare dimension of mindset. One scripture that will so amaze you. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10. You are getting blessed. Say amen. From verse 3. Oh, thank you. Can you take out 1 minute and pray in tongues wherever you are? Go ahead. Brazakoba Shibala Tebrendeka. You are outside, pray. Zombra teke lida bra shataya. Zibra tobos kobalate brieketesh. Le carosa bricabala de brende rias cabal. Rete brande bros cabala brende kekonski balada bare de beja. Come on, we are a praying church. Zekola barada braska. Babriondo siblande hiradakaya. Bakoto zabarate. Jeketena. Rola gabriatela. Braskete bakaya. Bande zo bandeisha. Yekarababaye. Hallelujah. Now put the scripture. Watch. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight or war after the flesh. He's now telling you that don't try to fight anybody in the flesh. This thing is not pioneered from this realm. Though you see us walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Then he now said, for the weapons of our warfare are not even carnal, but that they are mighty through God of strongholds. I'm going to tell you what a stronghold is later. Then read on. These are places of interest. Everybody watch this. Pulling down strongholds. Then he now started explaining where these strongholds are. He said, casting down what? Imagination. That these strongholds can hide in your imaginations. Imagination. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's the second thing you should not. I'm coming back to this. Knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. No demons was mentioned here. Is that true? No wizard was mentioned here. Is that true? Meaning a stronghold is not a demon. A stronghold is not even a witch. Father, I break every stronghold. I scatter every stronghold. Be careful. What are you saying? It's not even, it's not an entity as it were. So right, what's a stronghold? Because before I come back to this scripture. Or what does it mean rather to pull down stronghold? Pulling down every stronghold. What does it mean? Let's start there. What does it mean to pull down every stronghold? Right. To pull down strongholds means to destroy fortifications. To destroy fortifications built by the devil. I'm taking it gradual so that you can write. Later you understand it. Destroying fortification built by the devil around what you know. This is very powerful. Around what you know, comma, think or imagine about God. That is not consistent with his nature and character. That is not consistent with his nature, with God's nature and his character. Means to destroy a fortification that has been built by the enemy, the devil, around what we know, what we think, what we imagine about God, that is not consistent with the character of God, with the nature of God. So a stronghold is a fortification built around your thinking pattern. A fortification is like a fence. Let me use that word now. A stronghold is like a demonic fence built around what you know, what you think about God that is not consistent. The reverse can also be the definition, because God too can build a stronghold. Powerful. Let's balance it. God too can build a stronghold around your mind. And let me give you an example. One time, Pastor Chris of Christ Embassy was down. This is like 10 years back. So long ago. It's a testimony. He was so down that he could not move. They took him to the hospital, and while they were taking him, he told them, don't take me there. I'm not sick. They said, but Pastor, you can't move. He said, don't check me, I'm not sick. They insisted, ignored him, and pushed him to a hospital. As soon as he arrived, he told the doctor, doctor, I'm not sick. Stand up. I can't stand, but I'm not sick. Then they decided to run a test all through his body, and one sickness was not found. One was not found. And the doctor said, busy, ba? They said, yes. It's all right. Take him home. Keep him in the room for 2 days. Don't allow him go anywhere. All he needs is rest. He's truly not sick. It was a mindset that I cannot be sick. God now built a fortification around it. I cannot be sick. God built a fortification. Even while the doctor tried to check, they can't find anything, because already there is a fortification built around it. What's the other example? Last week I counseled somebody. I can't remember precisely. I hope the person is even here. He said an elder in their church, I think it's an elder or her father, I can't even remember precisely, told her that I believe God can heal, but not at once. And that the healing can never be instant. God can heal, no doubt, but God cannot heal. So if God wants to heal you, let's say you have you can't lift your hand, you can't raise it, there is no way God can heal you and you raise the hand immediately. You have to start raising it. Maybe one day you raise it to this level, then the next day, and I told her, somebody told him something about God that is not true, number one. And as soon as the devil knew that that information about God was not correct, he came and built a fortification around it. If that guy or that man, God forbid, has any form of paralysis, even if an angel appeared to him and tell him, Mr. Man, you are healed, stand up and walk, he will say, thank you, I believe, but no, do you get the picture now? A stronghold has been built around it. And he argues it well. This is how the devil works. He will look for what you know. Let me show you something. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Put up that scripture. Let's start from there. But mighty through God to the pulling down of every fortification built by the enemy around my thinking that is not consistent with God's nature and character. Then next verse. He said he starts from imagination. As soon as the devil knows, Satan is interested in what you imagine. Very interested in what you imagine. Keep imagining nations. Keep imagining great things. Satan is not happy with you. Because as you think, your life becomes. So he fights it when you keep thinking positively. Satan is interested in what you imagine, brothers and sisters. This is why we need God to raise Christian scientists who will build websites and build software. All of those sites that as soon as you open it, what you see is Jesus is Lord. Because right now you are online. You have to be disciplined to remain online and do what took you there. No, is that it? You don't want to see anything. Suggestions will be coming from here and there. Is that true? What do you think the devil is trying to do? To get a hold of your imagination. See it. Begin to imagine it. So that I can leverage on what you think to destroy your life. I know I cannot destroy you until your imagination gives me access. So while I wait, I will wait for you to be on Facebook. Then something pops up, or somewhere in the internet, something pops up. You don't want to see it. Then you'll be telling you, just watch. You don't even know what's here. Watch. Then you open. As you are watching, pictures begin to get established in your mind. And Satan is standing and saying, ride on. While you keep watching, he begins to build a fortification. Because that gives him access now into your life. Satan is interested in what you imagine, brothers. He's interested. The pictures in your mind, Satan is interested. For many, you are here right now. What the devil is making you think about now is the food you prepared and didn't eat. The message is going on powerfully. Say, don't listen to this, Jare. That your rice and beans, you know how delicious. You smelled it, right? And you're just here confused. You are saying, Man of God, we know. Casting down imagination, we know. Do and close that rice. The rice will not run away. Satan is interested in what is in your mind. It's an attack against your mind. So casting down imagination and every high thing, these things are not low, high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Number two, Satan is interested in what you know about God. And this is where I will dwell, because the last will not really take us time. What you know about God matters. How you know it matters. Who teaches you about God matters. Huh? A lot of people have wrong mindset about God, although they are Christians. But the things they know about God are wrong. Somebody told them something about God that is not true. They got born again and then found themselves in a church, a real good church, except that the teachings that were coming were not really building you and giving you the needed information for that time. So you kept growing. Let me tell you something. A half revelation is dangerous. When somebody tells you something about God that is not complete, it's very dangerous. When what you know about God is wrong, complete, all of them produces the same result. Frustration. So for instance, now you got born again. Then you stepped into a church and the pastor was teaching and saying, there are some people praying one kind of language here and there. What they are saying, they don't even know. They just make noise and disturb people. And that thing, we don't even know where they are going. They pray things they can't interpret. Don't subscribe to that kind of thing. Then you sit there as a novice. You just got born again. You are hungry. You say, I've really been hearing those things. Even before I got born again, I thought those guys were stupid. Now it's a confirmation. I think they truly are stupid. He said, I will never speak that language. Something about God has been communicated to you. It's just that the information is not correct. Is that true? So you now come into the kingdom. Anywhere you see people speak in tongues, there is a picture about them. No, these guys, no. What are you guys saying? Stop doing this thing. You are truly born again. If you die, you are making heaven. Except that, it's limited. Mindset. Or you enter the church. The man of God genuinely called, but what he was called to preach was holiness. And according to his dealings with God, everything the Lord taught him in the secret place was about holiness. He was supposed now to be wise enough to listen to other teachers of the word of God who are called in other areas. But he thought they were not genuinely called because his dealing was so strict holiness. Now all of his teaching is centered around that. He will come and criticize everybody who is doing miracles and prophesying. Is that true? He will criticize everybody preaching faith and prosperity. Is that true? Now he raises a people who have a knowledge of God that is not complete. These guys are truly holy. But even the addressing reflect that this holiness is affecting them. Except that they are very broke. No, you see it now? What you know about God matters, brothers and sisters. In fact, who teaches you about God matters. Be careful who you decide to give your ears to. Because listen, whoever you give your ears to, you're giving your life to. I'm telling you. People are built by the information they hear, not by age and time. No. Information is what builds people. Your knowledge of God. He said these strongholds can rise and is an attempt to fight what you know about God. Satan is very interested. Right now, I think when I started the teaching, I tried to establish that. There are teachings now around the body of Christ, a very, very powerful teaching that is needed, except that there are imbalances here and there about grace. They say when you, and we don't doubt it, we are a new creation person. Except that certain things they now press are out of proportion. They now tell you, if you are born again, you don't need to undergo any. In fact, you don't fight anything. You are just in Christ and you are there. Everything works for your good. very correct. Very correct. But you should understand that the enemy is still fighting your mind. Is that it? He's still fighting your mind. And the Bible says we are in a warfare. No, we are. You are a new creation person, but in warfare. You only fight from a standpoint of victory, which should be understood. Of course, the finished work of Christ, Christ finished it. We fight from a point of victory. However, there is a battle. No, there is. And I explained to us that the book of Ephesians is very powerful. Very powerful. The first three chapters reveals your new creation person. By grace are ye saved. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And all of those things that Christ have done. But from 9th verse of chapter 6, it reveals what we are supposed to do. Our responsibility. Walking in holiness, in righteousness, obeying parents is still something you are supposed to do. Then, from verse 10, where we just read, it said we are now supposed to stand and fight. Although Christ has fought for us, he even told us that Christ took us and sat us where? In the heavenly. And everything is now under our feet. But he's now telling us again in chapter 6 that we are supposed to fight. Fight what? If we are under our feet, what are we fighting? There must be a balanced knowledge, balanced understanding. What you know about God and money is important. What you know about God and prayer is important. There are people who believe God answers prayer, but after he has stretched you. One time I was discussing with a young man. I think he asked for something, and I told him, all right, by God's grace, I'll see you next week. Tell me you'll give me next week. He said, because I've noticed that when people say by the grace of God, it doesn't come. And he was so serious. Apostle, just tell me you will give me. I believe your word that you will give me. But if you say by the grace of God, guy, I'm not sure again. So just tell me you will give me, not by the grace, because the grace of God have been failing. That's his explanation now. And already there is a fortification around that. Grace can never avail for him. What you know about God and forgiveness matters. Believe what I'm telling you. For many, they believe God can forgive you. But when you do something similar, he will bring the other one, add it to this one, and then slap hell out of your... It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. There is a mystery of justification. To be justified means I've forgiven you, and there is no record of that wrong. Your transgression. And do what? Remember them no more. This is God talking. What you know about God matters. And Satan is interested. Satan will pay your transport to a ministry, to a church, to a location where you are taught wrong things about God. He will never fight you. Be there. Be there. As soon as you step into somewhere now, let me not even drag this in too much. Then Satan will begin to use even your parents to stop you from going there. Let me explain this. Some of you are here, not everybody actually. If you leave your house in the evening and stroll around, tell your mom I'm going to see my friend, and you stroll around, and you do that every day and come in, they will not say anything. The day you decide there is a place I go to receive information about God that is valid, the next time you go out and they see you coming back with it, when they see that, but they ask you, where are you coming from? So you don't know it's late. What kind of church is that you stay up to this time? The enemy goes through them and begin to fight you because he knows that where you are, something is being taught you that is a threat to him. And listen to this carefully. He cannot use your friends because he knows you have mouth. He will use somebody that has an authority over your life. Ah, the devil. Call him a bastard. You are saying the truth. Call him an idiot. You are saying the truth. Call him a fool. You are a liar. I'm telling you. Call the devil a fool, you are a liar. A fool, what's that? Please help us. What's it? A fool cannot coordinate distractions. Mark the selection of my words. Cannot coordinate distractions around the world like Satan is doing. If he was a fool, with all of the distraction happening around the world, he would go to. But to tell you how. The wisdom he had, mind you, hope you know God didn't take the wisdom. The Bible said the wisdom was corrupted. It was not taken. Read your Bible very well.
He still has it, but it's a corrupted version. So he has been able to strategically place destruction all around the world. A fool cannot do that. A fool cannot do that. And the Bible says he has strategies, imaginations. Back to our text. Imagination, your knowledge of God. And then, can you put the scripture? Let me show you the last and then we'll pray. I'm bringing into captivity every what? Thought. The next is thought. He's interested in your thoughts. Interested in your imagination. In what you know about God. He's interested in what you think. What you think. What you think. Very powerful. What they know about God and favor is very bad. Huh? They believe that God can favor, but you have to do something. They believe in favor. But their explanation of favor is that I will have to do something, then God will now. No. If anybody comes to testify, I met a man, I've never seen him. And the man told me, where do you work? I don't work anywhere. I just like your face. I feel like blessing you. All right, take this 50,000 and take my card. Meet me in my office. Let's see what we do. God will help you. The person comes to testify as a lady. Then somebody will sit in that angle. You are not the one. Somebody at that angle. Huh? Guess what the person is thinking? Sister, finish the testimony. Finish it. We are in Nigeria. We know what's happening. What are you talking about? That a man, not a lady, a man met you standing by the road, gave you 50,000, gave you his card. He said, meet me. Tell us. We are not stupid people. Will you finish that testimony or not? His understanding about favor is very bad. And it's possible he has worked with people. He has worked with great people who are in positions here and there. Before they help a lady, they sleep with that lady. Before they bless a lady, something must happen. So his understanding now is that God don't just make things happen like that. Tell us the complete story. You see it? What you know about God matters. Be careful the information you keep about God. One scripture and then we leverage it and pray. Luke 11. Well-meaning people sat down, learned things about God. In fact, this thing I'm sharing now, even pastors have certain mindsets that are wrong. Huh? Let me share one of it with you. While we came to Massacre 4 years back to start this work, certain pastors met me. This is what they said. Jonathan, ministry is not like that, though. We know God is helping you around KFE, student environment here. You can't gather people like that. It doesn't work like that. Massacre is hard. Mindset. It was my choice to say, is it true? Is Massacre hard? People don't gather. It's well low. Why are now? Where two or three are gathered? Lord, we are just there. Satan would have said, thank you. Maybe thank you, Lord. You know Satan? No. Satan would say, thank you, Lord. This is the mindset I wanted him to have. Just come. Then he will now use that and then punish us here. God, the devil is a bastard. Massacre must yield for us, oh. I'm telling you. Yeah. In fact, the mindset I have now is that God send me anywhere, something must grow. Anywhere. Send me anywhere. Provided I hear your voice and you are the one sending me, it will work. It will work. I'm telling you. Mindset. Give us that one scripture and then we pray. Luke 11:35. If you have the NLT, I will want it in the NLT. Huh? You have it? You don't have it. If somebody have it in your phone, we'll take it. Huh? NLT. Let's just have NLT. But watch this. The Bible says, take heed therefore that the light will be not what? Darkness. that there is something you can know about God and you call light, you call revelation, and you will walk with that for 10 years. After a while, you realize that all of that thing you call light and revelation was what? Darkness. That possibility exists. There is something you know about God. There is something you were told about God when you got born again in 1970. And you grew with that knowledge. You've always shared it here and there. Myself, till now, there are things I sit down and I just see the things I used to know. I begin to edit them. I say, Lord, thank you for this help. Because there are things I know now. And they begin to help me to realize that the things I was sharing then, no, Lord, we have to make some adjustment here and there. Certain people can hold on to it. It is wrong, but they call it light, revelation, rhema, 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 rhema. The Bible said, be careful. You can hold on. And at the end of the day, you find out that thing you call light was in reality darkness. NLT makes it clearer. Anybody has it? Thank you. We just have to read it there. Make sure that the light you think you have is actually not darkness. You see, make sure, sit down to edit it. Be sure that that thing you call light is not darkness. As you begin to journey with it, you begin to run around with that rhema, run around with that truth about God. He said, be careful. Sit down, edit it. Be sure that that thing you call, because there's going to be result that will prove later. After you've held on to that truth for 15 years, you are just 25. People try to tell you this thing is not correct. You say, no, me, I know what the Lord told me. Me, I hear God. No problem. Be careful. Because one day you wake up, you are now 40. That thing has not produced results. And it's at that point, what am I thinking? I'm now 40. Be careful that thing you hold and call light. This is the limitation of a lot of our parents. Good people, well-meaning people. They love God, genuinely born again. But somebody told them something about God that is not true. You sit down to talk with them at times, they tell you, I understand, this is zeal. I got born again like 30 years back. Huh? Who are you to teach me about God? Forget this thing. And you are seeing that this thing is not producing results for them. He said, be careful. Be careful. Times and times again, you have to sit down, edit the things you know about God. I know you've read it again and again that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I told you last week, I believe, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever in His personality. Not in His dealings. Not in His Remember, there was a time where, in fact, while we started family worship in Kefi 6-7 years back, it was strange for people to fall under the anointing. It was not something we've seen around here like that. No, it was strange. When people started falling, it was amazing. Why are people falling like this? It was surprising. In fact, the first day I laid hand on somebody and the person fell, I stood there and I said, Jesus. Oh, yeah, wake up. I was surprised. The person too was down there looking at me and surprised. I said, oh boy, the way you are surprised down there, me, ma. I don't know what happened. Then I moved to the next person. I told the person started going like this. I said, okay, dance, let's see. The whole thing was, it was not a move that was known at that age. Right now, we had two or three are gathered, somebody must fall. Is that it? It has become normal. At some point, prophecy became very strange. Where somebody would stand and say, okay, there is someone here with this and that, word of knowledge and word of doing that thing. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Tell us the truth. Now it's becoming normal. Brothers and sisters, another face of God is yet to be unveiled to the body of Christ. We have to be open enough so that when it comes, we sustain the discernment to understand that although this is not consistent with what has been, but this is God at move. You see, very powerful. Mindset. I choose to love the Lord and I choose to move with Him. I choose to flow with Him. Be careful that the thing you call light is not really darkness. One time, someone came for a meeting like this. I think he was even here. He said, no, in that place, they worship too much. I want where they can pray. They worship too much. If I worship like that, it will kill my prayer life. I say, somebody told you something about God that is either not true or is not complete. You see the way this is work? They look simple here and there, but or you did something wrong, and then God is supposed to bless you and turn you. But when you look at that, you say, no, it would have happened, but there is something you know about God. We are going to pray. Lord, may my mind not limit what you want to do with me. I'm telling you, there are people. No, don't bow your head. We're going to stand and pray. Just look at me. You can't pray that kind of prayer bending your head. What kind of prayer is that? You will stand and pray this prayer. Huh? For many, I told you last week, for many, I'm telling you, God is waiting like this. It's like standing at the door and knocking. What he wants is that your mind should just cooperate and he steps in. So what is limiting God is not even any demon around. No, no. To be honest, your prayer have handled all the demons. What is limiting him is your mindset. Open up, let me enter. These things be. Remember, that was a question by a man of God. How can these things be? And God said, yea. So even you are doubting me. Anybody can doubt me and go free, but for you, let me punish you for this. Your mouth got dumb until the breakthrough happens. See, what you know matters. We're going to pray, Lord, if there is any fortification the enemy has built around something I know, around my thinking, around my imagination, that has limited me this night, let that fortification break down. Let that fortification be destroyed. Let that fortification break down. Let that fortification be destroyed. Lift the voice and pray inside, outside. Pull down every stronghold. God can bless a man. God can make you get married in 9 months. God can give you a job and establish you in 2 months. God can increase your ministries and possibilities with God. My mind cannot limit you. My mind cannot limit you. My mind cannot limit you. Shabarada bakabalada preyakana. Are you praying? I pull down every stronghold over my mind. I pull down every stronghold over my mind. I pull down every stronghold over my mind. Shabarada barata bakasya. Shabarada bakabalada preyakana. Like a brand new Koskomaya. I hope you are praying outside, inside. Shake it in the regatta. Let a fresh copper regatta. Let it in the rose of the regatta. Te barada bala tosta, je te perri a la manda la bahasha. Every height in must come down, every stronghold shall be broken. It's so strong. You have a curve, you have a curve. You are. believe what you know about God, the result you will get will be wrong. You're going to pray and say, Lord, am I holding on to anything I call light? And listen, and you know that this thing is not going to help me. I might regret in the next 3 years. I might regret in the next 10 years. Lord, please help me. Expose that darkness. Expose that thing that pretends to be light in my life. And bring me genuine revelation. And bring me the real light. Can you lift the voice and pray? Is there anything I'm holding on to? Is there anything I know about you? Is there anything I heard about you? Is not consistent with your nature and character? Lord, expose that darkness. Be careful. Let what you call light in reality be darkness. Hallelujah. Listen. Some of you have to understand this prayer, but listen carefully. Some of you who do mathematics, hope you know you can miss the formula maybe at the second or third stage. But you confidently will begin to solve down. You are solving down confidently. Only for you to get to the end and you realize the answer is wrong. Then you have to start dressing. This is exactly what I'm talking about. God will have to help us. Otherwise, and this is true about every believer when growing up, that are true about God. And they teach you with every confidence as though what they are saying is true. Or you even know them yourself. You studied them. You read them in books, but they are not consistent. And you two can hold on to them. You even teach people. You even explain it to people. Then you walk around for now 5 years. 7 years. You are not seeing the result. And you are wondering what is wrong. Oh God, did I sin against you? Why am I not getting the testimony? Brother, you did not sin. There is something about God that is not correct. You're going to pray. Lord, expose every darkness in my mind that pretends to be revelation. Expose it and help me by your mercy. Help me by your mercy. Help me by your mercy. May I not build on a faulty foundation. What can the righteous do? They might rebuild, but time is not on their side. Come on, are you praying? 1 more minute. Pray. To pray one more prayer, but listen. This thing is very important. At least I know I'm a young minister. I know people with wrong mindset. They believe that if they keep inviting you in programs, you are becoming famous and popular. Wrong. I'm telling you, wrong. They believe that that's a proof that ministry is moving. Today I'm in this program. Tomorrow I'm in that program. No, sir. Not exactly true. It might not mean you are making progress. I'm telling you, these things God will have to help us early. We are a ministry that believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're going to pray now. The Bible says when He is come, He will guide you into all the truth. Because deception is so much. It's not even in your power to know every truth. But then in partner, in your place of study alone, He will hold you and say, my son, this thing you know, you've always known it wrongly. Let me teach you something new. I have moved from that dimension. I'm no longer there. 3 years back, that move is no longer consistent. You're going to pray, Lord, hold my hands. I surrender. If you are standing and knocking, I open up, hold my hand. Guide me into truth. Guide me into new revelation. Guide me into fruitful knowledge. Guide me into an understanding. Come on, are you praying? Hold my hands. Holy Spirit of God. Guide me. Lead me into the truth of the kingdom. Beyond a teaching by a man of God. Guide me yourself. Our Rabbi, the great teacher, the great teacher. Sha-la-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I love you. You guide me in all things. You guide me in all things. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. You teach me all things. Holy Spirit, you are the great rabbi. Holy Spirit, he was the one that taught the apostles. Although unlearned men, they became men that shook their generation on the strength of an understanding gotten from him. He can teach you also. I'm telling you, he can teach you also. He can take you, begin to mold your understanding, your perceptions about God. Shabaladabara Seketia. You guide me in all things. You teach me all things. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You teach me. You will show me all things. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now listen, I want to speak of our lives. I'm so happy that this teaching is preparing us for the miracle service next week. Yeah, so that we can believe God for anything this year. Absolutely. Anything. 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 Believe God for it. This year, believe God you can be married this year. Believe God you can get a job this year. Believe God the company can start this year. Although what you need is 2 million naira, it can come this year. Believe God that the ministry can grow this year. What can't he do in 11 months? What can't he do in a year? Let your mind. I know you have experiences that does not tally with your reality. I believe the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God, let his word be true. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Can you lift your hands? Let me just speak about us and then we are done for tonight. Lift your hands inside, outside. Before I speak, this is what the Lord is telling me, that about seven people, you used to have this prophetic gift. Listen carefully, because God is going to find them out now. But something happened along the line, you lost it. It was something wrong, actually. You did something or something happened, you lost it. And then it left. Right now, you don't see anything. Help that young man. You don't feel anything again. The word. Believe me. I see about two of you outside. The remaining are inside. Right now, as I talk, the power of God find you out. There is a restoration now. 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 May your eyes be open again. 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 May that vision be restored again. May that vision be restored again. May that gift be restored again. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Please, if you can, bring them out while I speak over the life of everyone. Lift your hands. Ushers, bring those guys out. Father, I speak over everyone. If there be any fortification built by the enemy around something you know about God that is not true, built around a thinking pattern, built around your imaginations, I decree tonight in the name of Jesus, let that fortification be pulled down. Let it be pulled down. Let it be pulled down. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I decree and declare, if there is anything you've held on to that is not indeed revelation, it looks like light, but it's not helping you, it's not going to produce the result, I speak as the oracle of God. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the Holy Ghost reverse that knowledge and bring you a true knowledge in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I decree tonight that God will begin to work on your mind. God will begin to work on your mind. The result will come. I decree that this year is your year. This year is your year. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For anything or any area of your life, the enemy will want to leverage on to limit you, I decree and declare that you have an advantage of God's mercy. You have an advantage of God's mercy. You have an advantage of God's mercy. Whatever looks not possible again, on account of every or any experience, or something happened, you have an experience that keeps fighting your presence, I decree in the name of Jesus, let the blood of Jesus speak for you. 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 This year, you will see results. You're giving up, you will see results. This year, you will see results. This year, you will have results. The things you know about God this year will produce results. In the name of the Lord Jesus. May your mind open up to the word of God. He said that the word of God can become of non-effect. I decree that the word of God becomes super effective upon you. May your mind be a fertile ground for the world to thrive. May your mind be a fertile ground for the world to thrive. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. Can you lift your hands and bless his name? Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. For this one's restoration has come for you. I stretch forth my hands over you. Your ears be open. Your eyes be open.
May you see again. May you hear again. May the voice of God become clear to you. May the dealings of God be restored. Guilt is gone out of your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is done. Asha, lift your hands. You're going back to school. You're a campus president. I stretch forth my hands upon you. Help him. I pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom. I pray for grace. Go and function well. Be a blessing to that campus. Let the revival stir up. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, quickly, while everybody's standing, inside and outside, while everybody's standing, we still have a little time. You know you are here, you are not born again. Please, wherever you are, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity where those who are standing, then help them to go. Wherever you are, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, this is very important. You are a very wise person. While I touch the word of God, the Lord kept talking to your heart and telling you it's time, respond. It's time. Respond to me. Wherever you are, whether inside or at the overflow outside, please, we're going to sing a song twice. And before we finish singing it twice, just find your way here. I'm waiting for you. I'm going to pray with you and welcome you back home. Wherever you are, can you come? Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours, Lord, and for all. Don't be the last to come. If God is talking to your heart to respond, please join her quickly. Join him.
I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours.
Outside, we can wait for you.
And for all eternity,
I have just one life.
I have just one life.
If the Lord is talking to your heart, don't stay back. Don't stay back. Come. Here, can you just pray after me? I want you to mean this from the depths of your heart. It's not just a recitation, it's a prayer of surrender, and I want you to mean it. Can you pray after me? Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight. I surrender my all. I ask that you forgive all my sins. I receive you today and as my Savior. I am born again. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I stretch forth my hand towards your sons and daughters. I decree that the grip of the enemy over your life be broken. A new beginning come for you today. May the hand of God and the grace of God establish you and keep you. Keep you from falling. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for making this decision. We want you to mean it. Stay close and glued to God, and the Lord is going to help you. Please, you take this way. This darling usher is going to escort you outside, and some people will attend to you. Please help them out. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. Keep walking in grace. For additional information, follow us on our Facebook page, Family Worship Experience International, or you could visit us on our Telegram page, Family Worship Experience International. You could contact us on 01-2939.